Thank you. Maryland, Vimala, of course. introduce me on the normal way along. First, also, Bob Daniel, my husband. New York, second is Jason. Did a wonderful dance for us yesterday. Quite nice of them. And Visa. Also, Kirta and Gopi. That's a two sisters and a mother combination. Also from New York, husband and wife, Lalita Malaba and Parham.
Yeah.
Vasudevaya.
Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayana Namaskritya Narottamam Devam Saraswati Vyasa Sodayam Durya Nastavayeshu Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Tamasokya Bhakti Bhavati Naishtake. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, intro 4, chapter 20, text 21. Rajo Bhakta
Rajo Bhakta
Sravya
Sravya
Vinuta
Vinuta
Good fortune.
Good fortune.
must be presented.
Must be presented.
Swamanasatam.
Swamanasatam.
Concluded by someone. Translation. King Prithu said, O gentle members of the assembly, may all your fortune be upon you. May all of you great souls who have come to attend this meeting kindly hear my prayer attentively. A person who is actually inquisitive must present his discussion before an assembly of noble souls. Report of Srila
Prabhupada.
In this verse, the word sahava, all great souls, is very significant. When a person is very great and famous, many unscrupulous persons become his enemies. For envy is the nature of maturity. And in meeting, there are different classes of men, and it is supposed, therefore, that because Prithu Maharaj was very great, he must have had several enemies present in the assembly. Although they could not express themselves, Maharaj Prithu Maharaj was concerned with persons who were gentle, and therefore he addressed all the honest persons not caring for the enemies. He did not, however, present himself as a royal authority, and power to command everyone. For he wanted to present his statement in humble submission before the assembly of great sages and saintly persons. As a great king of the entire world, he could have given them orders, but he was so humble, meek, and honest that he presented his statement for a fool in order to clarify his mature decisions. Everyone within this mature world is conditioned by the most mature nature and therefore has four effects. Rāva Prithu Maharaj was above all of these. Though like an ordinary conditioned soul, he presented his statements to the great souls, the sages and saintly persons present there. You want to change me up on the verses now? You know, we think everything is the right. So we still see that Prithu Maharaj, we had a verse about chanting the holy name and some other issues. Anyway, whatever, yeah. So Prithu Maharaj, you see, was such a perfect example of an authority that the Mahasamhita explains that the leader should know his or her dependents as well as the mother knows their children and should take care of them to the same extent. In this story, Prithu Maharaj mentions how he and the rulers of himself, that their first priority, of course, was to the Lord. And it says that they minimized their own needs and desires for the needs of the people of the project. And it says that they were trained in how to be stewards, how to care. Manusmita explains that a ruler who does not protect his constituents is a dead ruler. Meaning that a major aspect of rulership is to offer protection. And what is the greatest threat, greatest danger? Padam padam yabhi padam na tesham. We see that the real world is full of danger. And that danger is mainly accepting the body as the all in all, accepting material existence as the all in all, and considering that life is nothing more than eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Bhaktivinoda Vishnu Chakravarti explains, there's only three things that the jiva needs, the conditioned soul. Shravana, to remember, I'm sorry, to hear, mana, to reflect, and smarana, to remember. That means to be eager for connecting with the transcendental sound, understanding and activities, to engage in intense bhajan, one is dedicating his or her full self to the nectar of devotion, the culture of devotion, and one is to constantly be in contemplation about how they're doing and to refine themselves. And then one is to constantly be in remembrance about what is fair, what is given, how to do everything proper, and especially what has come before us as the Acharya, the Acharya Van Purush Shobhana. This is why we ask you the three things to keep in mind during this festival to take home with you. To keep the idea that being in spiritual life is like a battlefield, so be prepared, be equipped, and form good sadhu alliances. You take this inventory, the manaha, to constantly be in reflection, allowing the mind to work for you, rather than to be a slave of the mind and the senses. Vajra-vega, manasara, krodha-vega, jiva-vega, garbhastha-vega. These vegas, these pushes, are so prominent, but not impossible to overcome. It's like every sense is fully demanding attention and satiation. And unless we're constantly remembering, but remember why we took in this process, why we took initiation, why we're taking to a certain environment, a certain ashram, but remember, so many things that have been passed down through the great scriptures. So we're excited about antiquity, but at the same time we're excited, you see, about modernity. But even though it explains about Adunika, we are to look at what is there in the present situation, the present field of activities. Adunika Vada, and we are to analyze things, but we always to see what will help to bring the spiritual message through. So in that sense, antiquity or modernity are to be used, and not we're to be stuck in them. Any more than we're to be stuck in the mode of ignorance, the mode of passion, or even the mode of goodness. We're to use the mode of goodness as a platform for accelerating to transcendence. And the mode of goodness is Dharma. So that is being righteous and truthful and compassionate and kind and selfless. One does not imbibe these qualities intensely, Baba says in Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, that no one can become a pure devotee while being captured by the mode of ignorance and the mode of passion. Without coming to the mode of goodness, no one can become a pure devotee. In so many other discussions, emphasis is given to us about the importance of this platform. Because this makes it more organic or more natural for one to access a life of divinity. And all of this has to do with the sambandha or how every entity relates to another. The way we relate is so much connected on concatenation with our consciousness. And from our consciousness, from our thoughts, of course, comes our words and comes our actions. And so we are to engage, says those who are in religious service, and then puja, explain about the importance of manasi seva. That no deity service, and since we're always serving the deity, no service is proper without also deep reflection, meditation, deep contemplation. Otherwise, we are doing it mechanically. We are not getting sufficient realizations and benefits. So there must be the external activity that's going on, but more important is the internal counterpart. Everything we do externally that we're doing in the process of devotion is really to cultivate the internal. Because the deity, the body, all this external, is coming and is going way behind the soul, not something common to each and but never was a time we know when we did not exist. That is, we, as original Sarup, the soul. But we see that the body is constantly in transition. And so as we just focus on the physicality of the external, and of course we're addressing the temporary, yes, we have to maintain our economic concerns, our social concerns, our educational, our political, etc. We have to pay our insurance, we have to pay our mortgages, we have to arrange for our children, we have to arrange to eat, we have to arrange for housing, we have to have jobs. We should see ourselves as having those things and not being it. We're at a point that we are being such and we become overwhelmed by such, and our main concentration is dealing with these things only, then we miss what human life is really about. So we want to encourage you, as we are trying somehow to work on ourselves, because the best way to help someone else is first to improve you on yourself. So one of these short prayers I want to read. It's on the new book that will be coming out soon, Die Before Dying. Our concern is that we're all moments away from death, how long we may live. That life, as this Prabhupada says, is to be able to die gloriously like Grandfather Bhishma. So life really is preparation for death. In other words, we have to die to live. We have to die from so many bad habits, we have to die from so many unhealthy attachments to be able to have real life. As we have real life, it doesn't matter whether we're in the physical body or out of the physical body, or how long we have in the physical body, because we're accessing our eternality. If you think about it, a major aspect of the religious journey is giving death to orthodoxy. That mainly in the material world, people are engaged in trying to have all the opposites of the Lord. They want yasha, they want fame, they want vigor, they want the greatest strength, they want aishvarya, all the opulences. They want street, they want beauty. In other words, you see that there is constant competition. That all the major qualities that are possessed fully by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that the nature of the material world, that people are trying to assert or trying to take those for themselves without recognizing who is in real control and owner. Somebody comes into your house and they take something that is yours and they claim it is theirs, they're considered to be a thief. So much of what goes on in the material world, with those who are in fire, people are taking and claiming and using and abusing things and not recognizing who is given to them, not recognizing who it should go back to, and considering that it is theirs. And even while having it as theirs, they still do not even take proper care. When you have great respect and appreciation for someone, if they long to give you something, you take better care of it than even if it was distinctly yours. Because the beloved or the person who is giving to you means so much, so you come up even beyond your normal caretaking and you try to do your best to see that what they have given or what they share with you is something that you can be able to honor as you honor their existence. So we call each other Prabhu, which means we're saying to each other, you are my master, I'm your master. And therefore it means that we are to act in such a way and to associate in such a way that we treat others, not only you love your neighbor yourself, but the idea is you should love your neighbor even more than yourself, seeing that you are connected in yourself in connection with that person. That a greater aspect of you is how you develop your internal and how you relate to others and see the Lord, seeing God, seeing Krishna in everyone. Therefore, without such transcendental anti-material compassion, there's no question of entity being able to transcend these material prisons. All material universes are reformatories. They're all designed to help us to become reformed. It is not that we have any of this kind of duality in the kingdom of God. We have so many desires that are sanatana, that are eternal, that are not able to be accessed and manifested in our realm of duality, in our particular time and advice. But they are there because there is an inner knowing that we all have, an inner belonging. Every entity in existence is so much bigger than who he or she thinks that they are. And each of us in our original nature, the soul, is not just some smoke either. The soul is the real entity. And that has full personality and full expressions of genuine pure senses. We turn back to the kingdom of God, then we have a chance to be able to be informed. My family, we are Christian background. So we see in the Bible, it emphasizes in Corinthians that there is terrestrial, that is, there is the physical, and there is the celestial. 2 Corinthians says, while one is in the terrestrial, he is away from God. While we're in the physical, we are away from our original nature. And so what goes back? Is it flesh and blood that goes back to the kingdom of the Lord? No. Then what goes back? That is your soul. So I want to share a short, but rather intimate, reflection. And then we'll have a little presentation by the children. And then later we'll have a workshop with bonus entertainment and expressions. As I mentioned, I wrote this book for several reasons. I wrote it for my own self-purification and reflection, as to try to better myself, to serve you better, better myself, be more accountable to my mentors, to my spiritual master, to look closer at issues of the world in general, the issues that are being confronted by spiritualists, who are often struggling and sometimes procrastinating. And so my concern has been, especially this last few years, of how to be a global change agent and to look closer at whatever is needed. And I've asked you to pray in last year in my four, during this time, I offered an appeal to the international community that we make this prayer in summary that whatever that one needs to become pure, to become fixed, to become selfless, to be able to go back to the kingdom of God, and whatever is needed that we individually need to encounter, to let that come to us. And we pray that whatever needs to be taken away, whatever it may be, to let that be taken away. Hundreds of devotees agreed to make that prayer for the whole year. Unfortunately, I'm not able to go to Mayapur next week to see how many were consistent and followed through. They may have found themselves in the same situation I'm in. They have changed that prayer later. When I first came down with some of the illness, and a couple of my senior godfathers called and said, Maharaji, you know, you prayed to Prabhupada that you're 55 years old now, and you want to take on a certain extra burden that will relieve others from their burden. And now you've got sugar diabetes and high blood pressure and cancer. So the other thing, we think you better think back to prayer. I don't know. This is my understanding, my desire, and my joy. That yesterday Bhakti Vinod said how any suffering, Bhakti Vinod said, any suffering that I undergo on behalf of serving the Lord, that is my greatest joy. So what may appear to be suffering in one way, which is suffering, so to some extent, takes on a whole other life. I mean, some of you have had that experience, isn't it? When you literally have to suffer or you struggle, but it's someone who you really love. And even though it was inconvenient, even though it was maybe seeming like an imposition, it was to your happiness to see that what you did or what you arranged or what you sacrificed was able to facilitate some others. So how Krishna and Prabhupada arranged the finalization of your existence or my existence, that is all decided before we even took birth. As we come into this world, birth is there, how we take birth, and also how each person leaves. The Lord is controlling everything, and it means that there's nothing that is going outside of His control. And so we don't just take birth, nor do we die just by accident. Or that any real thing is accident. This means something out of our immediate realm of control and understanding. you for weeks or months or for years, or I'll give all of you, that is all up to the Lord, and it doesn't matter. Because if we live every day, we die to live, we're giving up unhealthy habits, and if we're accepting that we, who we are in our original nature, then the things that we do, then we're in the world but not of the world, or we find constant ways of how to dovetail things that we have to deal with in our day-to-day lives in such a way that it doesn't distract us from our real identity and from our spiritual deliverance. And whatever distracts, that is our maya, that is our sin. And what facilitates that, of course, that is to our credit. So this meditation is a little different. And I put two or three in here because I wasn't sure which ones to read. But somehow when you were chanting, and I was getting the pepper in my eye, I thought I would read this one. Little one is different. One should not reveal their bhajan in full. But in one correspondence I sent, imprinting in these changes of love, and these Chayas exchanges, say Chaya, Chaya Dosha, Chaya, in these exchanges, what we find is that you share or you reveal your mind and confidence to those who are close to you. So what you're trying to get everyone close to you, then it means you're revealing your mind a lot, right? And your heart. So I don't want a small circle of close people. I'm too greedy, too selfish, too spoiled for that. And if I got to be like those places where people don't love each other. You want to see me move quick out of the environment? Because now I'm a little slow. But have an atmosphere that's avoiding love, and I'll find a way to be quite happy. But where there's the love and devotion, it is so attracting because we are all starving for love. We just completed the second edition of Spiritual Warrior 2, and we had a new chapter. And in that, we're addressing that life is the school of love, preparing us for internal Ashraya Tava, divine love in the spiritual world. Because I'll forget later, some of you will be going back today and tomorrow. See Marari Gupta. Marari, are you here? Can you see Dr. Gupta there? Retired attorney. He is going to arrange for boxes of books of the new books that just came out. We have commentary on the Sri Upanishad, and we have Transforming Love into Lust, second edition, with so much more information and consideration, especially in the chapter between love between a man and a woman. As we see that there's greater need, I think for more facilitation in this area. So, there are boxes. Please, those who will be going early, take a seat and take some back to your countries. It'll save us some of the, it'll save you and save us. Some of the steam for shipments. The voting for great hard to have them ready for the festival. So take advantage of them while you're here. But my point in bringing that up, also I need these now. By later this morning, if you can, Anasuya, after the children have finished, you can send as many of the Japanese for those who take the first initiation over to the house, so that I can start doing the job of meditation and prayers for those who will be taking the initiation. Now, what I've written here, as I've done throughout the Beggar series, the Beggar book, this is only Beggar 4, I've purposely tried to be as brilliant as possible. I've tried to address issues that I feel are sensitive. I've tried to be very secretive in this sense, even though I'm being very revealing. I try to definitely write things that if somebody reads the book seriously, it will definitely help them to move through a narco liberty. In other words, of all the books that I've written, the others are more sophisticated. The Beggars are the books that I go when I'm hear another plague, I go into the woods, I walk, I pray, I cry, I scream, I yell, and I write. So almost every single plague I've written has been in an altered state. And so these are very short reflections. We ask you to take them very seriously because we feel that they are writing beyond ourselves. I don't feel I have the capacity to do any of the writing that's going on, material or spiritual. Spiritual and material and spiritual way, we have so many helpers, so many of you are helping in so many ways. And there's so much divine intervention. In fact, none of my books that I plan to write, that I go into them with the idea that I am writing a book on this particular topic. Maybe the only spiritual word sick is coming out that I, that due to the terrorism and such, but that was kind of a meditation distinct area I wanted to write on. In most cases, they were taped, and later we gathered. It was some writing that we started, and then turned into something else. They were notes, diary notes. Like the first beggar, the diary notes. I went to Africa, came back one day, went to Sylvia Kuja, and Yasoda showed me this book in my lap. And I was thinking, how did she get my diary notes? And she had printed, and that was beggar one. Which is good, because then it was written without pretense. As my prayers to my guru, as my life, spiritual life has been so much in separation in the early days, and of course now. And so I would, of course, do this diary writing to Prabhupada every day, especially when I was at the time of his country. I would write to him as a report and as a prayer, as a way to try to connect, you know, more internal basis. So this one is a part of this new compendium of prayers, and it's revealing about what my present outcome may be and our relationship with most of you. I am being called back by two different agencies. I am being called by two different agencies. In late October of 1977, Srila Prabhupada said, "Do things very carefully. I am already dead. But still, I'm giving you instructions as far as I can." This is Srila Prabhupada speaking to us in the early years. Prabhupada would often tell us, as he was so elderly, "Dad, I'm an old man, I can die any day. But you're young, carry on the mission." Through this statement, he was reminding us that he would soon be leaving. But he was also sending a reminder that we are all around the corner from death. I must therefore do the necessary while we can. How wonderful it is to have so many friends and associates who care for me so dearly and who are so eager for me to be with them, even though I am most unworthy of their association. They are most kind and tolerant, constantly extending their mercy to me in so many different ways. This unfolds as a problem because my associates who know me in this lifetime have their reasons for why they would like me to continue existing here. But my friends and associates who know me more intimately and eternally also have their reasons for why I should close this chapter of my present existence and join them in their service. Both groups are convincing, but who am I to decide which decision should be honored? And who am I to decide which will be more pleasing to my spiritual master? Therefore, I submit myself to my Guru Dev, asking him to guide me accordingly to what he feels is necessary and best in his service to humanity. Number from anybody put effect in my eyes this morning. My relative friend and associate here are concerned that I needed to continue my relationship with them because we share something unique and something something important together. But my relatives, friends, and associates in the higher realms are even more convinced that it is now necessary for me to join them, because we share something even more unique and important together. See, we all have associates, friends, and relatives in this life, but we've lived other lifetimes. And we said some lifetimes have been in a man's body, a woman's body, some lifetimes have been in a pauper, some lifetimes in a queen or king's body. Every relationship we have are important. And a chance for incarceration or for liberation. Any relationship can add to our remaining prisoner or can help us in our pursuits of liberation, of reclaiming our spirituality. And so sometimes in our previous lives, our relationships have checked our spiritual growth. Sometimes they've enhanced our spiritual growth. Some of our present relationships, they've helped us, and some of them have taken away. We have to all look individually to see. In our associations, how much are we giving knowledge of who we are in terms of trying to live in service of the Lord? And how much are others around us assisting with that? How much are we trying to be the servant of the servant? That's what we got for God's son of God. By trying to serve by raising consciousness in any environment that we're associated in. So sometimes one is blessed with being a Suki God, very lucky in these days, the person has a perfect recollection and memory. Real Brahmacharis would have that. Or one sometimes is aware of their previous lives. We all are to some extent. We have some intuition, some intuitive, sometimes reflections and dreams. People meet some places that we go. And many times, according to our bhajan, we become more aware of our previous existence. Somehow the Lord has blessed me, that, or cursed me, that in some ways I've been a little aware of the future. So that's why sometimes I'm very arrogant and bold, because there's times when I have some understanding what certain outcomes are going to be. Even though I'm so insecure and so incompetent, there's a contradiction that many times, and most times I'm very bold. Because I have somehow some little faith and some little appreciation of what often can be probable. So here we're looking at situation of sibling conflict. That's why we were asking you, don't pray in your prayers that I say, just pray that whatever we speak to the Lord, whatever can allow us to give Him the best service, let that happen. Because sometimes we can help more to the outside of the body more than we can in the body. And nobody stays long. And many great teachers and prophets left very early. Jesus left at 33 years old. Some of you were twice that age almost. But they time left at what, 43? Sampacharya left at what, 30, 32? 39. We see often civil rights workers, we see social reformers leave very early. Martin Luther King left, I think, at 39. Is that one doesn't have to stay long. It's not that longevity is a sign of the beauty of life. But it's the quality of life that's most important. Most brothers and friends and associates here are concerned that I need to continue in my relationship with them because we share something unique and important. But my friends, relatives, and associates in higher realms, even more convinced that it is now necessary for me to join them because we share something even more unique and important together. Some of them are visiting here today. Therefore, I submit not that they are seen. Anytime there's an important gathering, the devotion is significant, then there are those who are physically manifested and those who are also come. When we say all glory to the assembly of devotees, we're actually saying all glory to the devotees who we see presently, physically, any who Devas or Demagas or Aksavas or Vichahavas or Dandavas, angels or angels who may have come, or nature sinners who may have come for association. We are never alone. None of us are ever alone. We have so many shikshas that are designed and are joyfully assisting us, every single one of us. When you make your vows and you connect, you're connecting them in agencies of health and facilitation. Therefore, we don't want to disappoint, but we want to facilitate and serve. Therefore, I submit myself to my Guru Dev, asking him to guide me according to what he feels is necessary and best in service to humanity. My relatives, friends, and associates here feel that since I have so many family members, and today so many of them are here, some of us are at the house, and disciples, some of you here, so many places in the world, are connected to me and who some depend on me, it would be unhealthy to separate myself from them at this time. Some of you were even meeting for the first time. There's two of you disciples who want to take initiation. You've been incensed by a letter and conversation, but meeting with them for the first time. Their connection to that family, I'm the baby in the family, is unnatural for the youngest amongst the children to be the first to leave the body. In natural culture, we expect our elders to leave first, etc. I'm the youngest in my family. And you see, perhaps I may be the first to leave. Brothers and sisters. As far as my disciples all around the world, they feel that they are still too much like babies and very much still need the physical presence of the spiritual masters. We got something very special from Prabhupada's Bhaktu, from his physical presence. At the same time, Prabhupada stayed with us, that in so many ways, even though there's always confusion when the acharya leaves, the prophet leaves, the guru leaves, but at the same time, it gives an opportunity for greater maturity. So many of the devotees, since Prabhupada left, have become so much more deep in Vaishnava culture. So many devotees would have never tried to look closer at the legacy that's been given to us. And the message by many, many of our units in charge. They would not have gone there. So many who have learned Bengali, learned Sanskrit, etc., to read the books in their original language, would not have done that as long as Baba was present and making everything available and feeding us in such a way. So in some ways, by Baba leaving, he forced us to swim or to sink. When the teacher is in the room, the teacher is giving the assignment. But we don't really see the quality of a student until the teacher leaves the room, and then we see who has taken the lesson seriously, who is ready to go on and not be insubordinate because the teacher is gone. Even some who act with integrity, so that the teacher leaves, then they goof off or they create problems. Or they lose sight of what the assignments were. But the serious student, when the teacher leaves, is not even more attentive. Knowing that the teacher is gone, let me be careful that I do what is necessary, that when the teacher comes back, I have engaged in assignments, or the teacher is gone, that may reflect on what the teacher has said, so that it lives on with me, and so I do it right. When the teacher is there, the teacher can give them direct discipline and guidance. But that is not the duty of the teacher. The teacher's duty is to train up and make other teachers. Or the teacher's duty is to share and to give the knowledge with the hope that the student will take it and use it even more and better than the teacher. So no teacher wants just to have students who are only blind followers or dependent to the point that they are not able to take the lesson and be spontaneous and use their intellect and to how to be innovative, etc. The teacher is a failure. How strong that teacher may seem to be, if that teacher has not made leaders. The sign of a leader is that leader has made leaders. The sign of a good leader
that one has made people even better than him or herself. Bindu Maharaj was very humble and very powerful. And he was the sign of a good leader, a servant leader, who saw the welfare of the people as his major priority, as more important than his own desires and needs. His own desires and needs were secondary to that of the needs of his people. And therefore, we beg upon you, look at your lives to see how you are doing things to help to remove or to minimize the suffering of others. And then Krishna will, Supreme Lord will assist you with your own individual struggles. My relatives, friends, and associates here say that I have so many of my spiritual master's books to distribute. You know, Prabhupada has written so many books in so many different languages. And these are our core, our reference, our good books. And many of us who are writing, and our writings are supplementary or complementary. But when you have these niche sinners who come right in, who've never been conditioned, who are sent right in from the spiritual kingdom, they come with a very, very special and powerful message that goes far beyond just the immediate time and the place. It is the duty of the devotee that when you give a class, you read the scripture, you read the verse, you read the purport, but also you give your purport. It is a duty to relish the material and to share it and to keep bringing nourishment and fulfillment to them. I have so many of my spiritual master's books to distribute and so many more of my own books to finish writing and publishing. My spiritual master honored me as one of his biggest book distributors. As a brahmacharya, I was very active in distributing books like this. I have different series of books with my own different volumes that we want to complete. Some of the editorial staff are here from a few of the different countries. And they see that we're pushing them to finish translating and getting these books out. They feel I cannot depart so soon, but I will leave these series incomplete and still have thousands of people to introduce to my spiritual master's books. Therefore, I submit myself to my Gurudev, asking him to guide me according to what he feels is necessary and best in his service to humanity. My relatives, friends, and associates here say that I must surely continue offering my seminars and workshops, since they are often beneficial in helping devotees and non-devotees in transforming themselves into better people and developing much greater sensitivity and compassion. And there is the radio shows and television shows which are tactfully introducing millions of people to transcendental knowledge. However, therefore, I submit myself to my Gurudev, my spiritual teacher, asking him to guide me according to what he feels is necessary and best in the service to humanity. My relatives, friends, and associates, here they say we have so many temples to maintain, functions to develop, other preaching projects to expand. There are so many Mayavadis, sinful people, to expose, will be wounded, who need to be saved. Most people in society today are controlled by propaganda, fads, lust, and greed. Most people live only for improving their lives, amazing and independent. Some who are a little more evolved pursue various religious activities for changing or improving their material condition. However, involvement in dharma, religiosity, art, economic development, common sense gratification, moksha liberation is inferior, we know, to sanatana dharma or transcendental activity. Therefore, I submit myself to my Gurudev, asking him to guide me according to what he feels is necessary and best in his service to humanity. I'll end with these two last paragraphs here. My relatives, friends, and associates from higher realms are requesting that I come back to join them. As I have many duties awaiting me, such as festivals to help arrange, special prasad and drinks to prepare, cows to take care of, dances to participate in, and associates who are eager to see me engage, who are eager to see me out of the lower realms.
These activities of preaching and checking the deviants are activities which give great mercy to the conditioned soul. But such activities can cause one to feel like a controller, or to feel like that the goal of spiritual life is combating negativity. In fact, the essence of spirituality is not to combat the deviants, convert others, or engage in a variety of preaching endeavors, although these are very important. Not only are they necessary, but they are integral part of the mission of Goshtanandi. Lord Chaitanya requested that his message be delivered to every town and every village. That one should be active in trying to share. And that everyone should take the position of being Ziguru. What is the verse? Everyone should take to become guru. Amara agne guru hama eva kala sai. That everyone should become guru and save the land. Everyone should become teacher. Everyone should not just wait for things to happen or watch things happen, but be involved in making things happen. Lord Chaitanya himself has requested that the message be delivered every town, every village. It is the move of our great acharyas. However, more important than these activities is ultimately returning back to our home in the spiritual kingdom, where every moment is this joyful and animated opportunity to serve and to glorify the divine lordships. My relatives, friends, and associates in the higher realms remind me that if I am to remain longer in this material universe on various preaching missions, I must remain constantly aware of what is the actual goal of all spiritual activities. And I must be extremely careful to not minimize the importance of being fully absorbed and surrendering in the rule of a Vajravasi. I must be careful to not preach about Vrindavan while living more as an agent of Dhamma or religiosity. How fortunate I feel that I am being considered and invited by my relatives, friends, and associates of the material worlds as well as in the higher realms. I am prepared to stay or to leave. Therefore, I submit myself to my guru, asking him to guide me. According to what he feels necessary and best in the service of humanity. I am that holy beggar who is desperate, who is being called to stay as well as to return home. My dear spiritual master, you can keep me here, or you can send me home. God, what gives you in humanity the greatest service? Thank you. So we'll take a few questions in this. While we have a few questions to get the children ready for their performance, and then there's the silent breakfast after that. So in order to get the children ready, we need to have the devotees who are here to somehow to merge in to move back. We need harmonium, two cartels, and 12 cushions for the children. Thank you. family, don't forget, we need to be, so after the children finish the form, come over to the Institute House, my man. And to Marari, you're leaving today or tomorrow. You can go, you're staying no longer also with him, because there's a limited amount of boxes of books for us. This is the series of Manusha, and the second edition of Spiritual Warriors. We're also having the VR book available. A great book. Who's making the book available? VR book. Great. In fact, the book is available outside. You can see the story. The main topic is out there. So if you please sit down for a few minutes. We'll take a few questions to the children. Getting ready to have a performance for us. So if you have questions, raise your hand. Looks like a set the mic around, so I want to get in here. Let's take it in front first. You have questions? You won't be able to hear the question or the answer because you're quiet. Can you turn the mic up?
Speak loud.
Speak loud.
Sometimes I serve on my services, we get entangled on the physical aspects of the body.
He's asking, I don't want to hear, that sometimes as we perform our services and duties, that we do find ourselves becoming somewhat overwhelmed by the material counterpart of those activities. The question is, what do we do to create that balance? In some ways, the pursuit of Krishna consciousness, the involvement, is creating balance in our life. I was reading something the other day from Bhagavatam, where Papa was saying how greed and poverty, for instance, interfere with our devotion. I was looking a little closer at that. And he was emphasizing that there are times when if we are too much absorbed just in maintenance, or if we're too greedy for wealth, or if we're too deprived of basic necessities, that then so much of our energy will just go in that direction. Either just trying to get things because we don't have, or trying to get more and more because we have, and we want more and more because of greed. But we see that sometimes Krishna is a kitchen, and sometimes he will take away, sometimes the same Lord will give. For some people, to have wealth will interfere with their spiritual acceleration. In some cases, to have poverty interfere with their spiritual acceleration. In some cases, to have fame will enhance their acceleration and will humble them, like in the case of Prithu Maharaj, who although was so prominent and so dominant, but at the same time so subservient and submissive. Was our Srila Prabhupada all great honors he simply saw that he was just carrying out the orders of his guru and would offer it back to his spiritual mentor. The Lord in the heart, he knows what each of us need to encounter as part of our test. So if we're finding that we have so many material things that are somewhat overwhelming, we should also embrace it joyfully and see how kind the Lord is that He's given us all these encumbrances as a way to keep us somewhat detached. When we have great health, we should think, oh, how wonderful you are, Lord, that you give me this health so I can use it in your service. We have sickness, we think, oh, how wonderful you are that you put me in a debilitating situation where I can be more dependent and where I can be more mindful about using a good health when I do have it. We have wealth, we think, oh, how wonderful you are, Lord, you've given us wealth that we can use and give back to you. And if we have impoverishment, we think, oh, how wonderful you are, Krishna, that you have taken away, knowing that if I have, I'll become too unnecessary, excessively independent, or I will think that I am the Parameshwar, the Supreme Controller, rather than recognizing you as the Controller. If we're in relationship, we thank the Lord, how wonderful you are, you give me this wife and children and husband, etc. And if we're out of relationship, we think, oh, how wonderful that you've allowed me to have this simple life. So the idea of rising above the material platform is just that. To the degree that we accept the duality, we imbibe it, and instead of engaging, as Bhaktivinoda said, these two things, shravana, mana, and smarana, we will not be remembering and thinking and reflecting and planning and accepting transcendence. We will be so much distracted by the temporary or the secondary. There is the mukhya and there's the gona. There are the primary tenets, the primary things, and there's the gona, there's the secondary. And we have to be able to distinguish which is primary and which is secondary. It is the primary issues that will be able to enhance our devotion. Any secondary things will complement the primary, or they become a disturbance, or becomes our sin, our particular minor. So that means we have to then look and evaluate, as we're endeavoring with the material counterpart, how much of that is adding to the mukhya? How much is adding to the primary, or is it adding to the bonus to the secondary? If it's adding and helping us more with the primary, then we should do more of that. That which is favorable helps us to enhance our spiritual life with more adherence eagerness. That which is unhealthy brings us more to the culture of lust and degradation. So it is not always the same in each person's life. One has to be honest to look at what is happening in their life based on their field of activities to see if they're having too much involvement in the secondary things that is distracting them from accessing the original Sikh problem and getting them brought into it. Other questions? What am I saying?
I probably need to
I'm so happy of Apurva, Gugulas, and so many of my Gavas and Gastuses also have come along with this faculty. When I first came into the society, the first temple I stayed in was in Dallas, Texas. So I just finished graduating from Princeton. I was working in the Office of the Public Defender. And I quit the job to join the Gurukula school that we had in Dallas, Texas. Guru Vilas, at that time, and a few other devotees were very prominently involved in managing those facilities and taking care of the now their adults. And some of them even have children themselves who were under his care. And I was always impressed about his dedication. I was just Bhakti John, and then later Ghanasham, and I've had so many different names. And he was such an educator and such a wonderful Brahmin. So it's quite an honor to be able to have him. He's getting a little gray. He's up there now. Thank you very much for coming.
When Mara and I first met, Mara, you know how it is in the first day, first move. I tried to get an idea about what you tried to figure this out. But when I met R.I., time, and this was in the Deep South and the West. And always for me, the top of the computer,
most of my life I've prayed to be forced to be able to
do what will be pleasing, you know, to the Lord. I don't want to depend, because I know how crazy my mind is. And I see how that's happened even before I start making that prayer. See, I'm a child abandoned at 8 years old. And some of you know the whole story. I was one of the species back. I stuttered so bad you can hear what I was saying as we're having on one of those conversations. But as soon as I would go into a pulpit, I would be able to speak. As soon as I come down, I would have trouble. So I had a ministry of preaching at mental institutions, in prisons, hospitals, on radio, at 8 years old. Now, at some point, especially later in high school, especially in college, I tried like anything to give up any connection with anything spiritual. I just tried to pursue illicit activities, experiment, and something would happen. Whenever I would take intoxications, I would find that instead of being social, I would start giving a sermon. Here I would be with an attractive girl. I saw an attractive boy. So I was a ladies' man. And because I was a prince and I was a student leader and I was popular and I exploited my popularity. So I would call women down from all over. And then sometimes have a drink or take some, smoke something. But then I would find that I would start preaching this girl. So I would start telling her, why we should not be drinking. Why we should not be engaged in adultery. And so I kept trying. But somehow, it's like the Lord was forcing me. That when I was small, he showed me that if you're going to speak, you're going to have to be focused more on religious discourse. And if you're going to socialize or be with people, you're going to have to be spiritual. So it was like there was a certain inter-push when I was a student. And I'm just revealing this because who knows when we'll see each other again. Remember this comes out in the biography. It's a Russian author has written a biography about myself, so we're going to hear something similar. Later, translated into English. When I was very small, as 3 or 4 years old, I remember my body would always tingle. And it was like I was trying to get out of the body. Some of you may have that experience now. And so, it was like there was a distinct dichotomy of the physical and the soul. And I think it wasn't until a teenager until finally it stopped. But it was like there was a part of me that didn't want to be here, another part that was here, or another part that was reminding me of the separation of the soul and the body. I think maybe you've had in the early years in America and other places, when you would get your tooth pulled, they would put a Novocaine, and as you go under, the body kind of tingles, and you know, then you go out. So I would have that kind of tingling sensation, and sometimes it happens in some type of meditation where you experience kind of leaving the body in astral travel. So I would have that constantly, as if I was trying to get out of the body. I didn't understand why. The other thing is that I was born not in a vegetarian family, but one of my mother's friends had a health issue and she was a vegetarian. And one day we went over to her house. I was very small, maybe only, I don't know, 9 years old, 7, 8. And she cooked a vegetarian meal for us. And somehow, just by being there and having that meal, it was similar to when I first heard Prabhupada. My first meeting with Prabhupada was through his voice. That I was with my fiancée in a home, and And we have put on the George Harrison tape for Bob by the explaining about the mantra. And when I heard Prabhupada's voice, his voice just jumped right out of the hi-fi. And it's like it embraced me and chastised me and grabbed me. And I was crying and I was angry and I was sad and I was happy. You know? Because I realized that that voice was putting me under arrest. Like it was reminding me that what you were doing is what you came to this world for. And I changed that day. I went into the room. I chanted my first, you know, 16 rounds. I chanted and prayed. And I came out and I told my fiancé at that point of what I was intending to do, to join the Hare Krishna movement. And she left me there. And she said, I knew. She was quite a psychic person, and she said that she was expecting this, and she gave me her blessing. She was a yoga teacher, and we never saw each other again. So in other words, I'm only saying to say that if we want, our lives will be totally organized for us. And that's why I'm writing this kind of prayer. Is that right in the decision being made whether I stay or leave. And I'm leaving it up, you know, to the higher agency. We're all having free will. As that is part of our gifts as being individuals. But we can also offer that free will back in various ways. We say, thy will be done. We're really saying, dear Lord, you know better what I need. You know, you can arrange things much better than I can ever do. And so therefore, let me stop trying to drive and let you drive. You just make that prayer more to being forced to do whatever is best to assist in your spiritual acceleration. And you'll find many things begin to shift and to change. And ultimately it will be for the best of our existence. So that, I mean, that's a little long commentary, and I apologize for being so personal and revealing. But in one sense, I can say that any little something achievement is due to the mercy, of course, of my gurus and spiritual mentors that I've had constantly, who've been forcing me internally and externally. One of the last questions, I think, is, where's the microphone? We'll close it to it.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. And then pass it to my daughter, Lord Krishna. Try to speak a little louder.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead. She's asking the question, to give an example, she's blind, she has tremendous health issues, constantly, for years and years, she's been almost like an invalid. So she's asking this question, so can you explain more about mercy? That you say that God arranges such things, and it's to be considered as mercy. Well, look how fortunate one can be. It's like, take this example that I'm having now, that I don't know from day to day what the situation is. But I feel more spiritualized, because now it's allowed me to honor this Swarupa Lakshana, the major tenet of dependency. When we have so many things that are happening according to our own design and plan, it can often cause us to be captured by ego, egocentricity. It can cause us to minimize depending because we won't be as desperate. So desperation can be channeled. See, it takes intensity to break through the molds of mature nature. You can't just do it nonchalantly. You can't just do it, you know, mechanically.
And so without that intensity, then one will be struck by the shackles, which are energy. So we, unfortunately or fortunately, become more intense when we're dealing with challenges, misfortunes, traumas, and abrupt things in our lives. But yes, that intensity can sometimes cause us to get angry at God, to curse Him, and even to lose faith. And that's the crossroads that's there. The examination is designed to certify you, but the same examination can fail you. At least you want that examination so that you can hopefully be able to move on. So the difficulties, we can say, it's like an examination that's been immediately made available for one now to get certified as soon as possible. So you see that such difficulties like an examination. That's up to each person.
So those with that mercy is that ability to be able to take that step.
Yes. In the sense that we can have something negative and something positive. What is it, deliberately and poverty? There's always something negative we're trying to avoid and something positive we're trying to acquire. We have this choice at any moment. And the mercy is that the positive choice, or the choice that brings liberation and divine seva service, is available. But the mercy is that in love, there must be freedom. So the Lord doesn't force us unless we ask. And if He does, that's also special love and special mercy. Otherwise, we have the opportunity. That means we're all much more responsible for what happens to us and around us more than we're normally ready to accept. There's something about our mindset, mind culture, that allows or brings certain things to happen to any person. Yes. And then quite quiet. Are the children ready? Okay.
Marge, it appears that our philosophical development and the direction that's always been there as the senior and the more advanced devotees have always appealed to us. And one of the things that seems to, it is confusing. We're always persuaded and told that association of higher Vaishnavas is what we should always pursue. But it almost seems like the exalted and the greater Vaishnavas cheat us. Just like we sing these prayers, Narottam Das Thakur is written, the Acharyas leave. It appeared that everywhere he went, seeking out a higher association, someone had just left. So you say that there may be a calling of other associates from other places. But it appears that it's so painful for those of us who have to stay here and watch those who we've been persuaded to pursue leave, that just as we get an opportunity to become a little close, they go away. So I remember in the Prabhupada's quarters in 77, Brahmananda Maharaj then, he broke into Prabhupada's room and he started with just the most extreme emotion. He was screaming and crying. He begged Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, please don't leave. Don't leave." He said, what can we do? If you leave," he said, "we are all useless." So, and Prabhupada, I remember he sat back and closed his eyes and he started having a conversation with Krishna. He said, "Yes." He opened his eyes and said, "So, Krishna says, I can go or I can stay. He said, so I will stay. And then he stayed for some time and then he left. So you read this wonderful realization. And you very artfully describe how there are these other circumstances in our greater spiritual world. But there are those of us who are so lost and so unfortunate and so needy. And in an age where there's so much confusion and so much misdirection, every army requires a general. And every soul, we require those spiritual leaders who inspire us to go through the fire, to go through the test, to understand the mercy. So, I kind of have to reject a little bit, personally. You're asking us not to pray for you to stay. Because at this point, it's very clear, and I'm going to expose you a little bit. Also during that time, in 1977, I remember you were in Europe, you were distributing books. And Srila Prabhupada personally, at that point, he was told that you were distributing books in a communist country. And Prabhupada, he looked up, and Prabhupada started crying. Prabhupada said, he has taken so much difficulty on my behalf. How can I repay him? Prabhupada said that. And I was there and I heard him say that. So, I'm thinking for all of us, I know, and I know something else Prabhupada said about you. He said, you would see Krishna in this lifetime. So, anyway, I'm just going to ask you not to be so much in a hurry. So, the question is, Prabhupada pointed out how important you are to those of us who need you. So, my question is, Marcius, stay around. you promised me that you would kick me with the good thing.
Say my cousin for this nice expressions of love. We see when we read the Kirtan Charitamrita, we look at this system in general, our tradition, our tradition. There's always a coming and going that we can avoid, but there's also, you know, constant meeting. One of the Mahakrishna Maharaj's servants, secretary, sent us a letter of a dream that he had some short time after Mahakrishna Maharaj left. And Tamal was calling for me. So I sent a message to some of the Indians that said, so be careful, Tamal may be recruiting some of you. Mom is always a super leader, so you have to go ahead. And then, and I mentioned also that we do have to remind ourselves that the nature of Prabhupada's mission, the nature of our work, involves many reverses. The Mahal was saying in the lecture I heard the other day that he was praying Krishna with Prabhupada field. And he told Krishna, hey, Krishna, you got so many pure devotees in the spiritual world, you probably have what you need. He said, You know, you're thinking about that too now. Tomorrow we'll have something similar, is that he wasn't praying that Krishna's will was, or that he wasn't praying that Prabhupada don't stay. He said, Krishna, let him stay, because you have so many other servants, let us have this one.
Yeah.
But we see that that's the problem left. And we're all going to have to leave. So it's uncertain, but we have to see. But of course, my prayer is the fact that if I am called up to, you know, another mission, or called home with that arrangement, that I would still have serious active involvement on this level. But I can guarantee you that if somehow I do leave in the next year or shortly afterwards, is that where there's a strong connection will become strong. You know, we look, you know, most of the background of the Lord is a Christian background. We look how Jesus left, you know, 12 years old, he left his family, and went out and being disciples and started his work. And at 33, he was crucified and left. And we can take other charges, we can see great souls, we can see sometimes, you know, certain parallels. Even now, especially with Catholicism, even more than others, if we have the female aspect of the Ladini Shakti, Radharani, Krishna, through the mercy of the Ladini Shakti, we're able to embrace the mercy of Krishna. And so with their praying through the mercy of Mother Mary, we're able to connect with Lord Jesus. Now think how intense it was for Mary and others to have to let Jesus go and do what he had to do. Very intense. You know how intense it was when we think we're so young, what should Prabhupada leave? But because there are so many arenas, it's similar to in the early days when we started a temple, somebody who had only been around for 1 or 2 years, and then sometimes we were transferring to some other place to another place, and the person was just getting established, and the people weren't so connected, but there was a need now for expansion. And that's how this society started. Is that we learn a little something, and then we're sent to France, we're sent to Germany, we're sent somewhere to do something. And then, or Japan, and then the person would move on to another place. A few places we have, like in Canada, in Toronto, in Bucky Mark, he's been a president there for almost 22 years, but the case is rare. In most cases, it's 2 years and someone shifts or falls down. Either fall or you fall down. Shifted. Sometimes you get kicked out by different things and you move on to another service. So we can say similar to your own case, how you're in Puerto Rico and you're doing someone's service there, building the project in such a wonderful way. People gave their hearts to you, you gave your hearts to them. And many of those people now are like totally feeling lonely because, you know, you're not there to oversee them, to do nothing. But at the same time, there's other fields of activity that's there. And if you're still in touch with some of them, you will be. But by circumstance and by karma and by your field of activity, there was a need for you to make a shift. So we got what you said, and we're not trying to negate it, to appreciate it. But if I constantly pray to be used, I am not my own agency. And so let us see what happens. Now we should keep in mind that so many people giving their love and giving their affection, you know, it may, you know, kind of, you know, I'm a public relations, you know, see, phenomenon, maybe more than that in a devotee. So maybe I'm doing all of this, and I'm going to be 90 years old. I'm trying to make everybody be more serious. few new steps with my so don't be surprised. You know, the Lord is the picture, and he's already the picture of this marriage turned out to be one of the biggest of his kind of hopes. He doesn't think I'm a genius. Well, you pray for me, so all you gotta do is. But I was thinking one last question.
You gotta let me ask a few other questions after that. Since we're in this mood of, especially that period in 77, let it go.
The singing McGee, he's one of the first devotees to work with me, my godbrother, in Africa. And I'm so happy that his son, Ananda Suna, who was acting as my secretary when he was here, he's brought forth some really nice children and is helping out in the Lama Temple in such a wonderful way. That for many, many, many years he's been able to rejuvenate and be consistent in his offerings to Sri Prabhupada. We're very students to see double dedication.
Marge, see, when I was a karmi, complete karmi, give me the microphone. wait. Just so the devotees know. I'm still a karmi, but as a complete karmi, just walking in and off the streets, I'd gone the temple used to be the YMCA, okay, and my father was in charge of that YMCA. But when I was a kid, 4 years old, I think, at that YMCA. But later on, after meeting Sika Mahidi, one day I woke up in that same swimming pool with a shaved head. he kept. I was told by another godbrother, Ramakali, that I was a complete nonsense, and that I should just really dedicate myself. And if you want to chant Hare Krishna, chant Hare Krishna properly, you need to do it in association of devotees. So he had Sika Mahidi drive me to my apartment. We got all of my clothes, everything that I owned, and they just took everything I had and moved me into the temple. I was asking Sika, "Do it?" I said, "Do I really have to leave all these?" He said, "You gotta leave all this stuff right now." Pushed me in my car and forced and drove me right to the temple, and as a result of his mercy, I mean, I actually became a devotee.
That's the person who showed the story. The drive of the vehicle. But anyway, somehow or another, cut me off that mindful thing. It's amazing how, you know, Krishna does something. It's not very simple. He does something, and then he has 1% good or bad. Krishna does something, he has thousands of effects and ripples all over. So just when Maharaj went to Russia during this period, and distributing this book, of course, Prabhu would just, you know, told his own Prabhupada, so please, which is the goal. You have to remember, this is what you want. You want your guru to speak of you in that way. Then you know Krishna speaks. So that's how we're trying to work. And the effect of that was, many devotees, I remember in Chicago, everybody heard of it, because everyone thought, yeah, we're doing something nice for Prabhupada, we're going in snow like this, just drinking blood. And then you hear Maharaj say, "How's that? I'm going to top that." I can't top that. But it was so inspiring. So about that same time, I was divine for in 77, and I had such a strong desire to see Prabhupada personally in the room with me. And of course, being very new to it, so many devotees that were already, like Bhakti picked up. So I said, "How's it going to happen? I don't know how." So the bus got to me and ran up to the room. Of course, the thing that I did. No, you can't come in and come back later, maybe you put it in the building. I haven't heard that before, you don't know what you mean. Who's just speaking in here? So I go around to the back door, and the door is wide open, so I just sit outside the door, and I'm looking at Prabhupada. I'm totally content to sit there, we can talk about something here. And by the mercy of Krishna, his holiness Bhakti Siddhamaraja Damodara. Because his plea, Srila Prabhupada, so great with me. He saw me and he just gave me some mercy and said, come on in the room. And I was able to come in the room and stay in the room for 2 hours with Prabhupada.
Yeah.
He didn't throw you out? He didn't like the boy just sitting around. And we were talking about it, and it helped him because I think he was so endeared to Maharaj that just because he invited me in, I was in a mistake. So he didn't want to, he brought the king on the list, brought the list, but the kids were throwing
out. So I'm going to stop you.
But anyway,
initiation will be the morning of a program, the Bhagavatam period.